Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, and thank you for the many gifts that you have given us, all of humanity. And thank you for giving me so much. And thank you for giving us a mind. Each one of us has a mind that we can think with and comprehend what is going on around us and history. And when we study history, we see so many things that repeat in patterns. So we get to understand the limited time that we have on earth, and we get to understand the limited time that societies and civilizations live or last. So, Heavenly Father, therefore, will you give us a little wisdom so that we can know how to live in light of the limitations that we have as we go through life and as we live in the society and civilization that we live in? I think that of our own life, each one of us has a wonderful life, and it has troubles in it too, but there's a wonderful part that we just love. So, Lord, thank you for giving us a soul that reflects the essence of our life, and it lives forever, either in heaven or in hell. So we want everyone to enjoy eternity with Jesus in heaven. So help us to speak to others in a way that they can understand your gift of Jesus Christ, and that they can live in heaven eternally. It's a matter of accepting Jesus' death on the cross as a sacrifice for each one of our sins. We do it personally, and we repent of our sins, and that is a part of being born again. Lord, thank you for the opportunities that you have given us and the gifts of Jesus, Lord. And thank you for the opportunity to talk to other people and speak about Jesus. It's awesome. Well, it's pretty clear that there are patterns. There are patterns in history, and there's patterns in the Bible, and that includes the Old Testament, where we see that the Jews made sacrifices for their sins. And in the New Testament, we can see that Jesus is a sacrifice for our sins. And we want to accept that sacrifice as a gift to us, and then we want to live in a way which reflects the love of Jesus as we follow Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. We do believe the Bible. We have learned enough about it. We have read the Bible, and we see the truth in it, and we want that born-again experience. Thank you, Lord. Some people do observe how life goes in living and in death, and it makes them more interested in eternal life, because when we see death in front of us, we want to live, in this life and eternally. And as a history guy, I do see the life and decline and death of people and of civilizations. That's just so easy to observe. We can see it as we study history. Sometimes that decline and death happen pretty fast, but usually it lasts a little while, and usually there is a certain ungodly behavior and ungodly actions that accompany that decline and that death. So when we see the ungodly behavior in the United States of America and in this world, well, I kind of wonder if it's just showing that we are getting in a further state of decline and therefore getting closer to a death of civilization. It makes sense to me, and maybe to a few other people too. So if you have questions about your understanding, pray for wisdom. Our Heavenly Father tells us that He will give us wisdom if we pray and ask Him for it. So yes, ask for that understanding and prepare for what to do when He gives it to you. I know so often we do the steps of preparation. We do it in a spiritual way and we do it in a physical way. And that is because it makes sense to us. Especially when we see the decline or decay that is taking place around us. It happens personally. It happens in our neighborhood with people we know, with the cities and states around us, and certainly in the world. In the world, we can see that there is a decline, or call it a decay. It goes on, and therefore we know that a death will be coming at some point. I do think about how in the world there is a wars going on. There is even genocides going on. And often enough, people are killing other people. Sometimes Christians are targeted. Sometimes the Falun Gong or the Uyghurs are targeted, like they are in China, where so many thousands, even millions of those people die because of the desire to make every Chinese Chinese and not be a little bit different. No Christians, Falun Gong, or Uyghurs are allowed. And that just seems to be the way of the world. It's just China's turn right now. That seems to be how things go. You could say that it's going on in Russia, too. Right now, there's that great big conflict between Russia and Ukraine. So that's going on. Do we really know what is going on? No, because we're not there. I know in my travels, I have read the newspaper accounts, or read the magazine accounts, or read an in-depth story about what is really going on in another country. And then you get to that other country and you find out those newspaper accounts, those people who write, don't seem to know what they're talking about. And by the way, the same thing has happened when I've been in other countries and read about what was going on in the United States. Oh, it can be so much violence and so much bad things going on in the United States. But then when you get to the United States and you ask people about what really happened there, it was not what was written about. That seems to be what the media does. They pick certain things and emphasize it. And we have to be aware of that for everything that we are taking in and reading and understanding. We hear the news. We hear how bad things are in Ukraine. But I'm sure that it is not really the way they say it. Yes, it's bad. A lot of things are bad, but it just isn't the way that we are told. That's what my worldly experience tells me. It's an interesting thing that after all of the war messages that are going on over the media, we have not heard hardly a word about COVID-19. I guess COVID-19 is no longer of interest because it has filled its purpose. It did what it was supposed to do, which was distract us. But now we have a new distraction. There's a war with atrocities, and that is getting everyone's attention. Of course it would. People are always concerned about anyone who suffers, especially when the innocents suffer, because we have compassion and we are concerned. It gets our attention. But what does that mean we should do? Does that mean we should go to war or promote one side or the other in the conflict? Well, I'm pretty sure that we don't know really what's going on, because I've seen that pattern plenty of times where the media just is not accurate. I found that, like I said, as I've been traveling. But we seem to be going towards a conflict, a war, and which side are we going to support, and what are we going to do? How much sacrifices are we going to be called on to make? Yeah, $6 a gallon gasoline is sort of a sacrifice, but it can be much more involved than that. That's what war does. And of course, when we see things blown up, government buildings shot up, apartment buildings half-standing, hospitals damaged, the nuclear electricity generating plants not working anymore. Well, of course we are concerned. We are concerned when we see the dead and the wounded. And yes, we understand their pain, and that's a part of what the media does. It shows us this and that, and we better search for what is true. And I don't mean I know what is true, because I'm not on the ground. I don't know. But I would remind everyone that there is a great amount of manipulation that is going on. It has always happened. It's just happening now. And we had better pay attention to that being a real part of what media does. Of course, we have an interest to search for the truth, and that's what we do. We search for the truth of the events going on around us, or even of family and friends and neighbors and what goes on in our government. Yes, we search for the truth. We search for the truth in all things. And by the way, that is what we do when we search for God. We want to know the truth. Is God real? Is Jesus real? And yes, we find out he is. And we find out his Bible is real. That's what we do when we study. Now, for me, it took a few years for me to study and believe that, understand it in my logic, and believe it in my heart. But I'm so grateful that I did do that study, and I am so secure knowing that the Bible and Jesus and God are all completely true. So we have things in the world. We have tanks and planes and bombings and nuclear things going on. What is true? Well, I'm not quite sure. But I know that love is true, and we want to express love in the best form and not just give gifts and provide planes and tanks and guns and bullets. there may be a time for that. There certainly may. But it's not necessary that love is given in the form of war equipment. And there is a time for war. And there's a time for peace. But there's a time for many things, and we do not want to get fooled. How many times does the Bible say, be not deceived? And that's something we all want to pay attention to, so that we are not deceived. Oh, on the news, you remember there was that, well, of course, there was Chernobyl in Ukraine. That was in 1986. And now there is another nuclear power plant, which is in the news, says that it was damaged but not leaking. And so there's people all over Europe that are getting iodine so that they don't have their thyroid gland destroyed. See, the nuclear iodine, I forgot the number, is it 131 or something? But when a nuclear event happens, the radioactive iodine gets all over everything. And when people get that radioactive iodine in their body, it stores up in their thyroid gland. And the radioactive iodine will kill their thyroid gland. And thus, for the rest of their life, they must take that thyroid medicine. And all over Europe now, people are buying iodine. It's okay, just don't overdo it. And there are specifications for what overdoing it are. I didn't look them up, but you can, just so you know. And that potassium iodide is a good thing to have for all of us in case there ever is a nuclear event. You can buy it. It's not expensive as expensive goes. I'm sure you can get it for $30 for a little supply. I remember what happened in 2011 with the Fukushima plant, a near meltdown in Japan. Well, after Fukushima occurred, and I was in Central California at that time, well, an hour and a half after I heard the news about Fukushima, I went to store after store to try to find iodine for my thyroid gland. And all the stores were sold out of iodine. And that was in an hour and a half. Sold out everywhere. So I want to remind you that if you want some supplies or whatever it is, food, potassium iodide, you need to get your supplies before there is any kind of an event. That is important. And the moral here of this story is that you need to get prepared today. Every one of us needs to have some preparedness items. And it's an individual choice of what we do. And I'm not sure what it is, but I always think of water, water filter, food, and warmth, because that is what we need to live. Everything else, and there are plenty of other things, are good to have. But we can live without a flashlight. We can live without gasoline. We can live without a car. We can live without our cell phone. But you can't live without good water and food and warmth. So that's something I ask everybody to look into and kind of make a determination of what you're going to do. Especially these days when there are shortages happening all over the place. Shortages of all sorts of things. Just go to the store and you will see empty shelves. Of course, the stores move things around so the shelves don't look empty, but if you look close, you will see that there are a lot of missing things. I know lately I've been talking to business people and farmers. I just have had conversations with them, and I have found that there are plenty of things that are just plain not available. And the businesses and the people, or the farmers, are not sure what to do because the things that they want are no longer available. They are sold out, and the stores don't know when the next shipment is going to arrive. And they don't know how much the next shipment of goods is going to cost, so they can't even pre-order. They are uncertain of the cost and the availability, partly because of the supply chain problems. Well, I think the best thing to try to figure out what to do is to look at history and see what has gone on in history. What are the problems and what can we do? That leads me right back to water, food, and warmth. And every one of us gets to decide what other things are going to be important. Will it be flashlights or a can opener? Will it be a water filter? Will it be other things? There's no answers to this. It's just a matter of you have to make a determination to understand what is important to you in the event that the supplies stop coming to your stores. What are you going to get? Sure, there's common things, and we do get those, but there's things that you just plain want. If there is a famine, well, of course, I think of 2 Kings 6:25. When Samaria was surrounded, it was under a siege, and there was a great famine. And at that time, the head of a donkey sold for 80 shekels of silver. And the little way that I try to turn that into dollars, which is not accurate, I'm not sure anybody's conversion rate is, but it seems to me like it would be approximately equivalent to $1,000 for the head of a donkey. And of course, a donkey's head doesn't have much meat on it, certainly not good meat, but that's what it sold for at that time, because there was a famine, because there was a shortage. I think of Genesis 41, how Joseph in Egypt kept many alive by his storehouses of wheat. He was revealed to do that in a dream from God. And so there were great storehouses of wheat and corn and barley, and the people did not starve. But the people had to sell everything they had, from their farm animals to their land, and they became slaves, which is one of the reasons Egypt is known for slaves, is because these people even sold their bodies into slavery so they could have food. And that's just a theme. Yeah, it's biblical. Another Bible example is Abigail in 1 Samuel 25. She was the wife of Nabal. And Abigail brought food from her storehouse for David and his men. So it's just another example of how a storehouse can be a really good thing to have, especially when there is a time of crises. And you know, in recent years, all over the world, there have been times of crises. And the people who you will talk to who have gone through a food crisis or a famine, if they've lived through it, they always store food so that they never have to go through another famine. That is a real world experience, and it has happened all over the world. And some of those people have settled into the United States. which is how I happen to hear about those stories. You talk to people who have been through a famine, and they decide they are never going to let that happen again. They store up food. And nowadays, there are food and supplies in abundance here in America. Well, maybe not just today, but a year or two ago, it was still food and supplies in abundance. Now there are getting to be shortages, and we have to figure out what that means to each one of us. Is our money more valuable or our food? And what happens if the supplies suddenly become abundant again? Will we regret having bought the food at the relatively high prices that we're seeing now? I don't know. It's wisdom. And you have to examine your own understanding and read the wisdom of the Bible to try to find your own answer. There are themes that repeat in history. And of course, the Bible is a book of history. There are Bible themes, and it tells you about things to do that are important. Let's not overlook a couple of very important Bible themes, and one of them is to forgive people who hurt you. And don't we, every one of us, know about that, because every one of us has been hurt, and every one of us has a need to forgive someone. So we take steps to do that. Yes, and I've certainly been one who have had to pray, Lord, I want to forgive, and so help me forgive in my heart and my mind. Help me to be obedient to your word to forgive. Not always easy, but we are told, commanded, to forgive. And when we forgive, it removes a certain vulnerability that we have to act in a way that a hurt person would act. So, you know, that's why when we forgive somebody, we are freed from the burden of whatever we're carrying. So forgiveness is a good thing. I think of another Bible theme is righteousness. Righteousness is very important. It's such a big Bible theme that we live with righteousness. We want to think and talk and act with God's righteousness. There's something about that in 2 Timothy 3:16 where it talks about being instructed in God's righteousness, where we have learning and doctrine and reproof and correction. That's a part of God's righteousness, and we are to pursue that and live righteously according to God's will, not ours, according to God's will. You see, we are to follow in the example of Jesus Christ. And you think of what happened to Jesus when he was on that cross. Remember, it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's forgiveness. And we are also to forgive, even when we don't feel like it. So keep that in mind. Most people have somebody to forgive. I know I have a few people, and even if we don't feel like it, we ask God to help us to forgive. That's what we do. And oftentimes, reading the Bible helps. God's word helps us. And I have found that prayer helps very much too. Prayer before and after you read the Bible, that gives an increased understanding. That's I've seen that so clearly. Another Bible theme is to repent, and that means to turn away from your your actions or feelings or thoughts that are ungodly. And that is a form of repenting, to change, to become more of what God wants you to be. Sometimes you have to do it in steps, and it's not just the easiest thing. Just like forgiveness. Sometimes you have to believe and tell yourself you are forgiving as an act of your will, not because you feel like it. And you ask God, will you help me with this? In Jesus' name I pray and ask this. Amen. So that's what we do. Yes, it's a personal thing. And yes, there's so many parts that are personal, including our walk to follow Jesus Christ and his example. Proverbs 14:34. It talks about righteousness, and it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when you think about what that means, well, it's very interesting to think about what it means, because there's that statement, and then there's figuring out what it means. What does it mean when a nation is not righteous, when they are sinful and they are having reproach? Then what? Can you kind of look at what might happen? Do you think the nation would suffer because it has sinned? You see, that's an example too, and I leave it to you to look at examples of that and see why nations have had a problem, why countries have failed. It certainly can have something to do with sin and disobedience to God. That's a historical fact. And if you look from just that historical view, you can see that when nations do something which God does not like, there is an effect that comes to that nation. It is the effect of turning from God's word and what he tells us to do. There are consequences if people or nations refuse to follow the will of God. So look around the world today. Do you see that countries are having problems? Do you see that there are countries that are not following the will of God? Or do you find that their leaders or their men who are in prominent positions, do you find out that there are men who are not following the will of God? And if that's the case, you can be sure that there will be consequences. Now, some people call those consequences judgment, and some people just notice that there is a great decline going on in a nation, and there is violence and greatly immoral behavior. So we have to use our intellect and try to understand what is going on and why it is going on. There's a good example to see that when you don't follow the laws of God or the will of God, you will have consequences that are most difficult, most unpleasant. And that happens to people on a personal way, and it happens to countries in a variety of ways. So that just is so. There's Proverbs 22:3, which says, a wise man sees danger coming and hides himself, while the simple continue on and suffer for not seeing the danger. Well, we can see that's true in life. You can see it for countries. You can see it for people who are in the news. We can see it for even ourselves. We know it's true because we've seen it and experienced it ourselves. Therefore, let us look out for the danger that's coming our way, and let us get out of its way. so that we are not hurt by the danger that is coming. Our actions, as well as our thoughts, make a difference to what happens to us. We get consequences for all of it when we oppose God's will. And the world is doing plenty of things that are opposing God's principles, God's will. And that means our countries are going to have a lot of trouble coming their way. We see it, in fact. It's evident. As you look in the world, there is plenty going on where there's people who, they just are not behaving well. Maybe it's a personal behavior. Maybe it's that they lust for power. Maybe that they are creating a war. Or it could even be the destruction of currency. I mean, that is a destruction to a nation also. And all these things are happening around the world. You look around. Wars are happening. Yes, Russia and Ukraine. But look, another one's getting ready to happen, too, over Taiwan. China wants Taiwan. And they have been saying that for years, that they are going to reclaim Taiwan. And so we have two different conflicts in the world, and there's people who are saying, oh, no, go over there, help those people. We need to make Ukraine better. We need to make Taiwan free. And we want Ukraine to fight against the Russians, and we're going to supply all the missiles they need. What do you think is going to happen with that? I think that there's going to be people who understand where the real conflict is coming from. If the United States is doing it, the United States will get consequences. It's not that I can see what they are, but there is that, call it a rule, cause and effect. I mean, that is going on all over the place. So we can say something is going to happen, even if we don't know what. We have a world where, it's getting ready for war. That's what's going on. We always have, but it's becoming more active. It could be a war even against Israel, and that's Ezekiel 48. I mean, we've got things that are just getting ready to happen. And while we don't know what really is going to happen, we know that things are going to happen. I think China's getting ready for a war because they are stockpiling food. Lately, just check it out, or should I say Google it or something. There are the researchers who say that China now has in China between 50 and 70% of the entire world's food supplies. Okay, I'll say it a little different. China now has in China between 50 and 70% of the world's supply of wheat and 50 to 70% of the world's supply of corn and 50 to 70% of the world's supply of rice. So do you wonder what would happen if there was some famine in the world and China was approached and another country said, will you give us some food? Or China, will you let us buy some food? We're having a famine, and our population is starving. So do you think China would say, oh, sure, we'll give you some food, or we'll sell you some food? What do you think China would say, especially if there was a war going on over Taiwan? Well, things are shaping up. And even though we don't know what it's going to turn into, we do know that there are these kind of problems going on. What would happen? What will happen? What if we can't buy or sell food? Well, you know what happens then. People starve. That's what happens. And people, I should say starvation will happen because it is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Kind of in John, too. Just a little different. It's those Matthew, Mark, and Luke say before the end of the age, there will be famine. And do you think that means United States will also have famine? Or do you think United States is special? Because we're a God-fearing nation. Do we fear God? Or do we fear not having the liberty to make choices like what sex we are, or if we're going to abort babies, or, oh, it's too many things. Apparently, our choices are going to mean trouble for us in the United States of America. Okay, here's another scripture, Ezekiel 14:12. When a land sins against me, against God, that is to say, by persistent and unfaithfulness. Okay, so do we have persistent unfaithfulness in the United States of America? And then Ezekiel 14:12 continues, I, which is God, will cut off its bread and send famine. So, USA, could it happen here? Is USA having persistent unfaithfulness? Yeah, sounds to me like famine could happen. So, what do we do to change that? Do we plant more wheat? Do we plant more corn, sorghum, or whatever else we want? Barley? Hey, I have another idea. Let's try to be faithful to God. Let's try to do what God says to do. And then God will bless us with an abundant harvest. Because we can read that sin has consequences. And what are we doing to either supply? No, I meant, what are we doing to support a sinful behavior? Or are we trying to eliminate sinful behavior? Well, look at the law in the United States and be a little concerned. Be a lot concerned. In fact, be scared because things happen. And it might happen through natural disasters even. Speaking of natural disasters, you know that there are plenty of things just seeming to be ready to go. Seismologists say that there are a number of earthquakes that are just all wound up and ready to go. Major earthquake faults in the United States, like the New Madrid Fault. The last time that happened was in 1812, and it made the Missouri River flow backwards for several hours. I think it was morning. But the thing is the Mississippi River is a great big river. And if you can even conceive that we had an earthquake that made that mighty river flow backwards by lifting the land up, wow. Major earthquake indeed. And then there's the San Andreas Fault. Now, the California Office of Emergency Management says that the southern San Andreas Fault is all wound up and ready to go. So there's another potential earthquake. And then we have the Cascadia Subduction Zone. That one is said to happen every 300 years, and now it has been 322 years. So it looks to me like we have some pretty big stuff ready to happen on the earthquake area. So when will it happen? I don't know. But Cascadia is a big one. That Cascadia in 1800 happened, and it sent a wall of water 5 feet high across Japan. And geologists say that if Cascadia goes off again, it will probably destroy everything west of I-5. Pretty big stuff. Are you prepared? And what does that mean if these earthquakes happen? It pretty much means we're not going to have water, food, gasoline, banking, electricity, or water. I mean, it's not just going to affect the area 50 miles from the coast. It's going to produce earthquakes that continue probably for months. I mean, 7.0, 8.0, and those earthquakes will happen, even though the big Cascadia zone will be 9 point something, 9 to 9.5. An 8 would be much less. Well, anyway, that's what the seismologists talk about, and it's big. So are you ready for that one? How can anybody get ready? I'm not even sure, but I know there's a few things that everybody will need. Water, food, and warmth. And when that happens, those aftershocks of sevens and eights are going to make it impossible to get into the area that has been destroyed, because the emergency people and equipment will not go in because of fear of hurting their own people or their own equipment. That's just what happens. So you might also consider that there are emergency people who want to provide food in case of an emergency. Well, you know, there's the military, there's Homeland Security, there's FEMA. All these people want to provide food. And so does the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. So does your church. So does a community service group. But all these people, every one of those organizations, have zero food to distribute. They have to buy it first. And that means the supply chain has to be available to provide that food to be bought and distributed. And guess what? No one has any food at all. It's up to you to provide your own food. That is the fact. You know, there's not going to be a mommy and a daddy right handy to sacrifice their own food in order to give you food to eat. There is no food for you and your children, your neighbors, and the people you love. There's no food in the stores when something like that happens. Everything is gone. It will be a terrific, terrible situation. So what you want to do is you want to get your own food and have it available. Put some of it away so that you have at least a little while to, maybe find some food somewhere else. Maybe to grow some crops. Maybe to hunt some squirrels. Hey, I don't know. All I know is everyone needs some food, and the longest lasting food is grains, which is why I recommend grains. Sugar, salt, and oil. Flavorings. And then whatever grains you can get. Rice, white rice, that is. And wheat. And barley. There's just so many more. There's lentils, there's peas, there's many different grains and legumes that are going to be good for everybody to have. Because when food is not available, it is amazing what tastes good, even with a little salt. Or get some dehydrated food, like dehydrated peas in the number 10 cans, dehydrated carrots, all those things. You just add a spoonful to a bowl of rice, and it changes it. Salt and pepper changes it, too. And so does a few other little flavorings. Just depends on what you're really missing. You can add something. Doesn't matter. Everybody has different taste. Sure, hot peppers. Sure, paprika. Sure. Well, it's endless. The thing is you add it by changing a little flavor. And may I suggest getting some dehydrated coffee, both caffeinated and decaffeinated, and some tea. But the dehydrated coffee lasts for a long, long time, just like grains last a long, long time. Another part of that is to have a grain grinder, especially if you have those wheat berries. Those wheat berries can also be used to plant. So you can harvest a crop later on. And yes, that requires water, and yes, that requires a community to cooperate with each other so that the animals don't eat your wheat and so that people don't steal your wheat. Yes, a community is required, whether that community is your family, your neighborhood, your city, your church, another civic group. Community is very important, and you just have to figure out which one you are going to be a part of if ever that scenario of a crash does occur. There are people who are getting ready for it, but not many in the United States. The governments are getting ready. I mean, look at our executive government is ready for a crash and a famine. But the soldiers only have a limited amount of food. These public civil servants only have a limited amount of food. And there's really no food in the whole system. And so that makes me just tell you, food is so important. Water, water filter, food, and warmth. Now, maybe you think that if a terrible situation like that happens, you're just going to die because you don't want to live through it. Well, I'll tell you, I can understand that point of view, but I also understand that God tells us in the Bible that we are to preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we can't do that if we're dead. We have to be alive and preaching the good word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be alive for that. We need to seek that life so that we can do what God has told us to do, no matter what happens. There can be fires and earthquakes and tsunamis, and they will cause death and destruction. Don't doubt it. Do you remember the Indonesian earthquake that killed 230,000 people? We could have that happen on our west coast of the United States. Actually, we could have it on the east coast, too. The Canary Islands has, I don't like to use prophecy, but there have been several prophetic people who've talked about that. There's possibilities just looking at the real physical world and what could happen. So you know, hundreds of thousands of people could die, and that is yet another reason, again, to preserve our own life and the lives of those who we love so that we can speak and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is hope in that message, and that hope is, yes, it's hope we're here on earth, but it's also hope in the afterlife, our eternal life. And that's what we do. We are hopeful people. And then we figure out also what kind of good things we should have for storing up in our supplies. For instance, will it be a radio? Will it be a flashlight? Will it be rope and wire or propane for our camp stove so we can cook on things? If we have whole wheat, we need a manual wheat grinder so we can grind up that wheat and turn it into bread. I mean, those are just practical things that we seek and try to understand what we really do need. There are lists of emergency things. FEMA has the lists. They're not the only ones. Yes, some of them are long, some of them are short. But please, think about what you can do. Because if you do nothing, you already know how prepared you will be. You will not be prepared if you have no preparedness items. There are things going on, and we can see why there will be decay, why there will be collapse, and why there is a need for God through Jesus Christ in our nation and in our community. We do have an economic concern going on when now we see so many price increases with our gas and our groceries and rents. And it seems like everything has dramatically increased, including the cost of wheat. Why? Just for an example, if wheat costed $10, now it costs $17 for that same amount of wheat. That is how things are increasing. Prices are increasing. Well, let me say it different, because it's not that the prices are increasing. It's that our dollars are decreasing. They are buying less and less. And when our Treasury and Federal Reserve print money over and over, so there's millions and billions of dollars that are being circulated, well, the more that you have, the less is each one's value. And that's one of the things that is going on also. So if you're making donations to churches and such as that, make your donations while your dollar still has value. Because in 5 years, in 10 years, we can only guess what our dollars will buy. It might be a tenth of what it used to buy. It might be a thousandth of what it used to buy. You see, that's the way that hyperinflation works. In nations like Germany, Austria, Zimbabwe, Venezuela, Argentina, even Russia. And the countries, really every country has experienced this to one degree or another. But those are the ones that have been in the last 1,500 years or even 10 and 20 years. It's a known pattern. It is so certain that we are going to face a declining dollar and inflation, even hyperinflation. And that's the thing that we need to prepare for and figure out how our preparedness will help us get through these times of need. You will want to pray for understanding and use God's guidance so that you are able to see what you are to do to get through these times so that you can be faithful to God, Jesus. That's always good to pray to get these understandings. Let me tell you that I have a preparedness pamphlet too. It's not like it's so good, but it is a preparedness pamphlet intended to get you to think and to consider what kind of things you might want. And that's what you do. You can look at 10 different emergency lists and decide what it is that suits you. But if you want mine, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope and you can get it. I'll send it to you. And if there's any other broadcast you want to listen to, just go to www.christtoday.org. And for my preparedness pamphlet, send that stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Well, God bless you, and may you continually pray. There's much to pray about. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every